The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I've got two verses back there that Daryl's got. One of them is Zephaniah 3:17, and the other one is John 13:34-35. Good morning, everybody, by the way. Father God, I ask you to bless all of our spirits to be prominent right now and to rule over our souls and bodies. And I ask you to bless our spirits to receive every good thing that you have for us. I know that you've got something that you want to say, either in something that I'm doing right now or that Renee's going to be teaching on later. And I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us to connect to you. In Jesus' name, amen. In Zephaniah, it says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." I went searching for that verse because a member of this body said to me, they said, "You know, just ask me a question. Are you singing over your wife?" And I said, in my head, probably not as much as I should be. And so when I found that verse and that last part there that says, "He will rejoice over you with singing," the Lord started speaking to me that it wasn't just about my wife. It was about singing over the body. And it wasn't just me singing. It's you singing over each other, over the body. And maybe not all of you are into singing. Maybe you've got another way that you like to bless each other. And the Lord started speaking to me about the different things that we do, the different ways that we sing over each other. But in this case right here, it's God. God saying, "I will be singing over you. I am the mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Now, the other verse, which is John, the other verse is John 13:34-35, and it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another, that we are to do unto each other as God did unto us." So the first verse is talking about, oh, protecting one another and delighting in each other and singing over each other. And the second one says that it's us, that we get to do that too, that he's asking us to do as he did. And then I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking about ways. For me, it is like breathing to sing, and by that I mean I love it. If it doesn't sound good all the time, that's okay. I just love to sing. I sing at work. Brian Malley listens to me singing back and forth down the hall, probably the same 10 songs. It's probably very upsetting for you, but for me, it's a good thing. I sing when I'm doing the dishes at home. I love it. For me, that's something that is like breathing. And so when it was suggested that I should sing over my wife, I go, well, I'm happy to do that. But perhaps there's other ways. There's other things that you can do. There are people in this body that sing over other people by sewing into an entire other country or several countries. They sow unselfishly into an entire land, and they're in this body right here. There are people in this body that can do something that I could never do. They built a playground right outside that window there. They sowed into the body at great cost to themselves. So there's that. There are people in this body that just seems like every single time there's something to be done, something like, oh, I don't know, helping somebody move that needs a couple extra hands or doing some construction or tile work. Or I can remember this guy right here coming to my house about 15 years ago when I didn't have a nickel to pay for a car repair. And he said, "I know a guy," and joined me on a Saturday, and we spent the whole day, and he made my car run again when I couldn't have done it any other way. So there's ways that we can sing over the body that way. There are people that sing over the body by making them laugh, like this guy right here, that he actually sings over the body that way. There are people that hear from the Lord prophetically and outside of their comfort zone, not really particularly comfortable, they can come up to the stage and they say, "I've got a word of knowledge." What is scarier than that? Going up there and saying, "Okay, I think there's somebody here that is experiencing X, Y, or Z," and then you have to stand there and go, "Okay, Holy Spirit, I sure hope you show up." There's people like that here. there's people here that teach other people how to worship just by example. They even teach people how to be married successfully, I might add. You know, over here on this side, there's the Mordals. Oh my goodness, how you have sown mightily into this church, and you will be, praise God, for years to come. I think about the parking lot that we come into, and that was plowed for years and years and years, and the equipment that you burned through without complaining. Or how about the people that you care for at your house, or the cars that you repaired? There's all kinds of ways that we can sing over each other. As I look around the room, I see people that are involved in politics because maybe it would be a good idea to have somebody that loves the Lord actually in there in the fight. Mr. Malley, you helped me get my job at Bodrill and Propane. You saw a guy that probably needed a little extra time to do some of the things that his heart wanted, and you saw an opportunity for me, and I wouldn't be able to do a lot of things that I do if it hadn't been for you. There's all kinds of ways that we can sing over each other, and this body does a really good job, and I'm walking through here because it's important to point out that this isn't foreign to us. This isn't something that is new to us. This is something that we already do, but we are also called to do more of it. But it's not going to be extra work. Find the thing that is like breathing. Find the thing that is easy for something that is comfortable for you already. That one thing. Find that one thing that you do naturally already. And I just want you to know the world is waiting for you, both inside this body and outside these four walls. One of the first elders that I ever had a conversation with in this body was Sean. And Sean had an impact on my life in how, actually, an impact on my maturity and my ability here. And also, probably your son's one of my son's best friends. Speaks to your amazing parenting. Conrad, there's a picture on my bedroom wall with me and Renee dancing with Jesus. And it's amazing. And I did something crazy. Somebody here got a word, and I walked up to you and I said, is this something that you could do? And I think it was kind of a rotten thing for me to ask you to do, to be perfectly honest. But I said, so can you, have you drawn any pictures of Jesus dancing lately? And brother, you made it a work of art, and that it's in our body, or in our bedroom. Oh, Father God. There's a video that I've got that plays into this a little bit, and it's a little bit about goal setting and about a way that we can raise the bar in our lives a little bit. Given that we have the tools already, given that we have giftings that are natural to us, could you play the one with the gentleman singing to his wife?
I'm your sweetheart. Uh-huh. I always was your sweetheart.
Yep.
I was your best lover. I don't know how many others you had, but I was the best.
Oh, I know.
She said she loved you, Daddy.
I love you too much.
Behave yourself, she said.
I'm always good.
She says she loves you, Grandpa.
I love you.
Okay.
Okay.
This is your song. Behave yourself, she says.
Okay. There you are, I know. If I try.
I still couldn't hide my love for you. You ought to know, for heaven I told you so. A million
sweet hearts
went away. You went away in my heart, and with you. He likes me.
Yes, he does.
What you say?
He likes me.
Yeah, I like you. Is there some other way to prove that I love you?
I swear
I don't know how.
You'll never
know
if you don't.
If you don't know now, you're mine.
Thank you, darling.
That's the first time I saw it to the end because I just couldn't make it to the end. So that's a man singing over his wife, but not everybody here is married. This isn't just about singing to your wife, but it is about their life. That's an amazing life. And when I saw that it set the bar for me, a new level. This is what I want to do. And, you know, I got to be honest. If you do the math, I'm not going to be married for 70 years. So that exact moment isn't going to happen, but I need to play catch up. I need to work as hard as I possibly can to sing over you as best I can and sing over you, and you over me, and each other. And you have sung over me. As I walked around the room, I related some of that. You have sung over me. You have sown over me. But I just wanted to show that video because that's a life well lived. And whether it's in marriage or it's in friendly relationships, it doesn't matter. That couple took their lives and they thrashed it, and I mean in a good way. They did everything. And you can just tell by listening, they've got children and grandchildren in the room, and they're helping them communicate with one another. One is deaf and the other is blind, and it's just beautiful. Thank you for letting me do that. And before I turn over to Renee, the Williamsons, I need your help. Yeah. Uh-oh. Suppose I should have warned you or something. You can just come up with me. Because in Zephaniah, it says that he sings over you. And in John, it says that I'm supposed to do what he does or what he did. Have a seat. They're really comfortable. I bought the one on the right. So I get to sing to you because God wants to sing over you and because God wants you to know that you probably didn't realize just how much he was, that you were on his heart. And you have been a focus. And he sees success happening in your lives, and it's going to be okay. And there's been a scary season that you've been through, but it's going to be okay. And it's going to be okay because he is the Lord God, and he is mighty to save, and he will take great delight in you, and he will quiet you in his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. And he wants me to tell you, and I will try to make it through. You are so beautiful to me. You are so beautiful. beautiful. To me, can't you see? You are everything he's hoped for, and you are everything that God needs you to be. You are so beautiful to me. Think you can sit down, I promise. You can sit down over there. I'm going to ask my wife to come up. Thank you, folks. Yeah, I never know what I'm going to do either. Here you go, look.
It looks like it's on. Oh, okay. Ah. I don't even know what to do now. Thanks so much. In that moment, I just feel the beauty of the bride, that the Lord is singing over his bride. And that she's so beautiful to him. Sirian has to go because it's tapping. He is singing over us. And he's singing how beautiful the bride is. And I think there's times when we can get focused on the frailty of the bride. We can get focused on the parts of the bride that aren't beautiful yet. But what I wanted to talk about today was the fact that our God has an eternal perspective.
Come on.
And when we sing over one another in the way that Brian just did and in the ways that people have done for us in our life, we do it from an eternal perspective.
Yeah.
And so I want to challenge us, because we've talked today, and not just today, but we've talked even about the place that we're in as a nation, the place that we're in even as the body of Christ. I can look and be so dissatisfied for the place that we're standing on as the body of Christ unless I see the eternal perspective,
yeah.
Unless I see what the Lord has done and is doing and how beautiful she is to him.
Yes, yeah. That's good, Renee.
We do function in this body as family life pastors. And when we stepped into it, the conviction of our heart was that everything we do will be out of love for the bride. We're not trying to fix the bride. We're trying to love the bride. We're trying to love the bride into who she's meant to be. And that goes beyond this building and this place. We, as Living Waters Church, have the privilege of calling the bride at large into who she's meant to be.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what we get to do when we sing over one another. We get to see each other the way that God sees us. And he sees us from an eternal perspective. He sees us from a perspective that's bigger than this moment. I just want to encourage us in times that feel unstable. This is a time that feels unstable in our nation. For various reasons. I don't think we really have to go over it or make the list. For various reasons, it feels unstable. It feels like the conditions are not great for the furthering of the church. It feels like that there is an opposition for righteousness. There's an opposition for unity in this time. And I want to remind us that God sees that as the perfect opportunity to move supernaturally. I was reminded this week of the story of Elijah and how he challenged the prophets of Baal. And I feel like this is a time when we're challenging the idolatry of an entire nation. We're challenging the idolatry even in our own hearts as things start to feel a little bit unstable. And so what is so interesting is that he challenged that idolatry. And then in the challenge, so the story, let's look at it really quick. I gave no verses to the tech guys back there. I'm so very sorry. We might have to do it the old-fashioned way and actually look in our Bibles. 1 Kings 18. Verse 20. Verse 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. And so he's challenging. Basically, he's saying, how long will you trust in other things? It's kind of what Brian was talking about, that the Lord our God is the one that we trust in. There's a verse in the Bible that says, some trust in chariots, but I trust in the Lord our God. And in that day, the number of chariots was the strength of that government or that kingdom. And we don't trust in that. We trust in the Lord our God. So Elijah challenges the prophets, and he basically they're going to prepare an offering, a sacrifice, and they have their pile of wood, and he calls the prophets to call down fire on this wood from their God to burn the sacrifice. And it says in there, it says that this was in the season that there had been no rain. So the wood was really dry. It was ready for fire. And so the prophets called and called and called, and they didn't receive the answer. Their God didn't respond. Their God didn't meet the need and bring the fire. And so Elijah comes, and he douses the sacrifice with water. Not one, not two, but three times he says, pour water on it, pour water on it. And I just feel like we need to be encouraged that what he was doing was creating an atmosphere where God could be supernatural. Yeah. We're in a season where there is an atmosphere for God to be supernatural. Yes. Amen. Because we can't trust the natural thing. That's right. The natural thing isn't going to do it. And so it's okay for us to be in a place where the natural thing isn't working. That's okay. So here we are, and the conditions are not good, but it is perfect. Amen. For the supernatural to happen. Amen. It is perfect for the bride to be able to be who she is in the process. Our role is to be the peace, the Prince of Peace in the midst of this. We get to represent him in the midst of the unrest that people are having. And I'm not just talking about the political season we're in. I'm talking about race relations. I'm talking about the way that family is falling apart. All the different things that we look at and go, wow, the conditions aren't great for the church. Wrong. The conditions are exactly great for the church. Come on. Historically, these are the times that the church can step in and bring a supernatural solution where natural things could not happen. Natural things could not fix it. Yeah. Yes. And that's the place that I've been in just looking at everything and going, God, why won't you fix this? Fix this. Like, there's all these different things. I just want you to fix. And I feel like he's been challenging me to fix my eyes on him, to fix my eyes on his eternal perspective.
Come on.
Because he sees the full picture. And it's birthed something in me. I have such an anticipation and such an excitement for what's to come.
Yes.
I have such an excitement for the ways that we, as the body of Christ, are going to step up and release the supernatural at a time when the natural is not working for us. So we can be excited about that. We can see the political mess through the ideals of his kingdom, through the eternal perspective. One of the interesting things about this as it relates to government and kind of what's happening in government is that the place that government rests in our life is on his shoulders. So when we talk about it, it's not just a Christmas prophecy. In Isaiah, when it says, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And the thing that the Lord has challenged me in is, where is your government resting on right now?
Come on.
Where is your peace resting on? Because when I change my perspective and realize, oh, no one's getting dethroned in this process. My peace is resting on him.
Good.
My peace is resting in the fact that the increase of his government has never stopped expanding.
That's right.
His government is expanding. And it doesn't matter if we get our guy or our gal into office. Jesus is our guy. He's the guy. And his government is expanding. And really, in the process of some of this unrest, that's the place where his government expands the most. Historically, if you look at the church grows when natural things become unstable. The church grows when the circumstances seem contrary to growth. The church grows when the economy isn't growing. The church grows when governments are in unrest. The church grows when there's social issues happening. And so here we are, poised to be the beautiful bride, to step into a place of seeing things from his eternal perspective and walking it out in this time. It's exciting. It's exciting to know that there is no end to the increase of his government. I want us as the body of Christ to be leading the dialogue instead of following the dialogue.
Come on.
Amen. We have a message of good news to inject into what's going on. And I feel like, especially for myself, I have felt like I have to sort of follow the dialogue of what the world's putting out there. I have to respond or react to it rather than us taking a place of leading the dialogue.
Yeah. Good.
Of drawing people into trusting the Prince of Peace to govern. We have an awesome opportunity. Yes, we are citizens here, and we vote. And I love what Pastor Dave said, and I don't even want to say any more than that, but what he said about vote your conviction. Vote what you have faith to vote for. Ask the Lord and vote that. But let's not be confused that somehow the outcome of that vote helps or hinders our ability as the body of Christ to represent Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
That's true.
We will continue to expand his government here on earth. That's what we're doing. That's the work that we're about. And as we get a little bit distracted in the things that are going on in the natural, I just want us to pursue and look at his supernatural perspective of what he sees in this. So one of the things that we need to remember is that he is eternal. His purposes are eternal. And we get to play a role. We have this moment in time that he gives us to play. But in Psalms 90, verse 2, it says, before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God. So that's our God. He has an eternal perspective. There is a real that is more real than this real.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And that's the place that we're trying to live in. That's the place that we need to keep our eyes on. This is not the real. In some ways, this is like the Truman Show. Did you see the Truman Show?
Yeah.
This is a finite piece of the eternity of God and what he's working out. And sometimes it can so fill our vision that we can't see it. Have you ever, I don't remember, there used to be a kid's show where they would put on the screen this really up-close view of something, and it would be like you're looking at it, and it's really, really up close, and then you have to try and guess what the thing is. And sometimes it would look kind of gross, like, ew, what is that? And then they would back the camera out, and it's like a puppy, and it was his nose or something, you know? And I feel like sometimes that's where we're at in our perspective on what's going on right now in my life or what's going on right now in our nation is this really up-close view, and you go, ew.
That's good.
What is that? And if we could just back up to the level of what he sees and his eternal perspective, we would go, it's a puppy. I like puppies. Not so much the close-up of his little bumply nose. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is a guideline for that perspective.
Yes. Yes.
This is to be able to back up to the 10,000-foot level or whatever it is. I don't know what you call it with eternity. It's probably further than 10,000 feet. Yes, from that perspective of being seated in heavenly places. This shows us what that looks like. And we get to live out of this, not out of what's on our newsreel. I was going to say newspaper, but I was concerned I'd lose my audience. So not what's on our news feed and what's on our newsreel. We don't have to live out of that reality. We are participants of that reality. We're meant to impact that reality for the sake of this reality. And that's the business that we're about. Nothing is happening to us. We're happening to it. And that's the place that we want to stand in as the body of Christ. That's the place we want to encourage one another in. That's the dialogue we want to have. How am I impacting this? How am I impacting the dissension that's happening? Am I participating in that dissension? Or am I bringing peace to that? We have an impact. So he's an eternal God with eternal purposes. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, he has also put eternity in the hearts of men. Do you know when we get stressed? When we don't live for eternity. Because we are built, we are wired for eternal things. So stress and anxiety happens when we're not living in that eternal thing. Stress and anxiety happens when we're focused on a moment in time, when we're focused on just what we're in the middle of right now. Because we're not made to live that way. We are made to live with eternal perspective. That's not going against the grain for us. That's what he's put into the hearts of men. That's why people long for things. When they don't live from that eternal perspective and they gobble up everything they possibly can to satisfy and to bring fulfillment, and it doesn't do it because we're meant to live with this eternal perspective. So we get to offer that. We get to offer the peace of standing in the midst of that. We do live in a time now. We live for this time. God put us on earth for this time. But we were created for eternity. We were created to impact this time for the sake of eternity.
Yes.
I'm just editing myself. The other thing, as it relates to eternal perspective, is as we are called to live for more than just ourselves in this time. And we've had some conversation about bringing babies into the body, about adding on a nursery, about having sort of a renewed focus and passion towards the lost, really, and impacting that. And so as we're looking at that, I'm just considering that in light of eternity, in light of the fact that it is part of the process of the body of Christ to reproduce in that way. Every living thing, the goal of it is to reproduce and to grow. And I just want to encourage us as it relates to that, as it relates even to how we are going to function as family life pastors and how the leadership is going to function, that as we pursue that, we are not introducing a program. We are, by the very nature of who we are at Living Waters, we're very organic. We're intentional, but we're organic in the sense that we allow the Spirit to bring passion within us to pursue the thing that the Lord wants us to pursue. And so the Lord has been stirring passion. Dave felt a while back that we needed to honor the evangelist, that we needed to show honor to that, to show value for evangelism, because we haven't done a whole lot of that in our body. And the Lord stirred that within him. And so he's been stirring that. This is an organic thing that's been happening. This isn't a thing where we're looking at our numbers and going, well, people are having babies really fast here, but they're not going to grow up for a while, so we better get some new believers in here. This isn't a growth program. This is the working of God in us saying, here's part of how the bride is going to be beautiful. We carry some things here at Living Waters that need to be reproduced in people. We carry some things. I was marveling at how amazing it would be for people to be able to be saved into this culture versus having been saved and walking with the Lord a while and then coming into this culture of freedom and of being led by the Spirit and being empowered to walk in the graces that God's given them. Imagine being saved into that culture, coming to know the Lord in that place. And I'm excited about that possibility. I'm excited about the possibility that we have to do that, whatever that looks like. All of us have come up and said, we're doing that. We don't know what it looks like, but it's happening. And part of that's because it's organic. The Lord is for...
You're okay.
Okay. The Lord is forming that in the hearts of people. And so that process is not going to be created by a program. We don't create programs here. We create culture that lines up with the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen through a program. It's going to happen through passion. What you're going to find if you're part of the family here and as you're traveling along together, you're going to find that God is going to begin to, if he hasn't already, he's stirring in us a passion for the lost. He's stirring in us a passion for discipleship, to walk alongside people in growing in their relationship with Christ. He's stirring within us a passion to take what we have here out there in an even greater way. So as he begins to do that, we can feel at peace knowing that it's not going to demand something different of us. Like Brian talked about, we get to step into the things that feel like breathing for us. As the church is casting vision for this, and as we're pursuing it together, we get to pursue it in the ways that God has put within us already to pursue it. Nothing's going to be demanded of us that God isn't already stirring in us, because that's how we operate here. But it's good to be open to the Lord changing our perspective in that. It's good to be open to the Lord helping us get off of a focus that's internal and open up to a more external focus. It's helpful if we can see it from his eternal perspective. It's an interesting thing. what happens to a family when a new baby comes. And I think we've touched on this, but it's exciting. And one of the things that I'm so excited for, just personally, and I think for all of us, you know, my baby brother, who's not a baby, just had his first baby. It makes me cry, because she's really beautiful and wonderful. But what was so cool is, you know, when a new baby comes in, and we got to be there just hours after she was born and see her, is the awe and marvel at new life. You just can't look at a brand new baby who's been living in here for 9 months and moments later is here and alive and looking at you and not marvel at the beauty of life and the beauty of new life. And I felt like the Lord was putting that in my heart, even as it relates to, we need to marvel at what it means to be born again.
Yes.
We need to marvel at the beauty of new life.
Yes.
And what an opportunity it is for us. What an opportunity it is in a household, when a new baby comes into a household, for everybody to marvel again at the beauty of new life. What an opportunity is when a baby comes into a household for everybody to grow up a little bit, to grow to the next place. The baby in our house is 7 years old. And it's an interesting thing. I was the oldest, but, you know, the baby of the family kind of has this, what would you call it? You know, I don't know, whatever. What people say about the baby of the family. And it's an interesting aspect, because I see that in Olivia, because I see that she behaves a certain way until there's someone else that now she has a role and a responsibility for. She likes to be held on Sunday morning. She's 7 years old. I don't know what you think about that. I don't really care. But I like to hold her because I can. And I will. I feel like the Lord's told me, you hold her for as long as you can.
Yeah.
My arms are really, really strong, so it'll be a while. But do you know when her little nephew, our grandson, is there, she holds him. And she doesn't need to be held. Because when the baby is there, she has a job. It's in us to want to pour into those that are coming along after us. Her behavior is different when she's not the baby. When she's the one who's caring for the baby. When she has a job to do in that. And that's something that we get to step into as we come to this focus of seeing that our role is to disciple. Our role is not to gather as disciples. Our role is to disciple others, that there are people that we are pouring into. There are people, and I feel like we say this every single time we're up here, but that's because it's kind of our life message. There are people that need what you carry.
Yes.
Whether you've been walking with the Lord for 30 years or whether you've been walking with the Lord for 2 days, there are people that need what you carry. They need your experience. They need to know what the Lord's done in your life. They need the testimony of his faithfulness. And I think sometimes we think that discipleship is about more knowledge. But really, discipleship is about transferring the knowledge of who Jesus is to the people that are coming along after us.
Yes.
That's part of an eternal perspective.
That's good.
Knowing that what we're doing is building for more than just what we are. So in Matthew 28:18, where it's the Great Commission, it talks about that he's given us authority. And again, I just want to remind us, as agents of his increasing government, he's given us authority.
Yeah.
We have authority when we pray. We have authority when we're involved in different process, whether it's in business or politics or education or family. He's given us authority. And then he talks about going in Matthew 28:19, and I'm going to end with this. Matthew 28:19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And what's interesting about this, as I was studying it, the word go there really to us has this connotation of going somewhere else, going to another nation, going to another place and doing this thing. But really, the Greek word is a word that means going continuously as you go. And so I just want to encourage us, allow the Lord to stir in you as we talk about making disciples and bringing babies in, that it's not necessarily going to require for you to go somewhere else to do that. It's about as you go on your way. And I feel like the Lord's going to begin to shift our perspective in the way that we see those opportunities. He has for me already in relationships that I already have. We, for about 7 years, have traveled on a mission trip about every 12 to 18 months, which I loved because it's this fresh boost of faith and you go and you minister. Well, it's been over 2 years now since we've done a mission trip. And I was getting a little shaky, having a little withdrawal, like, are we never going again? And I just felt like the Lord has said, this is your mission. You're going every day. You're going. And I feel like there's a perspective shift that he's given us. So he's saying, as you go, make disciples, baptize and teach. And that is a role that all of us can step into. Knowledge is not maturity.
That's right.
Reproducing and sharing that knowledge with other people, that's what maturity is. That's what discipleship is. So, this is not a neat little bow, but I just want to pray for us that he would give us eternal perspective in closing. Lord, we thank you that you have made us to see things from your perspective, and that if we are ever feeling at unrest, we can know that it's just because we're not living out of our first nature, which is to see things from a supernatural, eternal perspective. We ask, God, that as we come to the closing parts of this election, as we deal with issues in our own lives, as we come into a new season, even as a body, that you would give us an eternal perspective, that you would give us a perspective that is more than just this moment and more than just us. We thank you, Lord, that you are releasing the passion. You're releasing the unction and you're releasing the grace to walk in those things. And we're excited. We're excited to walk alongside one another in that as you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
There it is. That's why I love them, guys. Anybody else love them, guys? You know, that was so good. It's not that we have to go. It's that we get to go. You know, if it was a great commandment to go, that'd be one thing. But it's a commission to go. We have the privilege of going. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We get to go. Isn't that good news? Amen. Let's stand together. We are going to have some teams up here. If you need prayer, I felt like God wanted me to give you some homework for the week. Is that all right if you take church home? Yes. Come on. But here's the homework. Identify two or three areas of disappointment in your life and sing the song of the Lord over that. Now, hear me. This is serious. I'm really serious here. Identify several, two or three areas of disappointment in your life. Hear the song of the Lord and then verbalize what God is singing about those difficulties. Because the difficulties aren't meant to defeat you. The difficulties are meant so that you can thrive in Christ. Sing the song of the Lord over those things. If you need prayer, come on up. We're going to have teams up here. We've got coffee. Oh, we've got a potluck. By the way, please stay. There's plenty of food. If you forgot to bring food, please stay. We've always got more than enough. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bless this congregation. I bless this body of believers. Lord, we thank you for the rich feast that we have had today, feasting on Jesus, on your love. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.